If you're here this morning and you've come a long way to be here, we're so glad, and just encourage you to be comfortable and just be ready to receive from the Lord this morning as He wants to just touch lives. Amen. That's what He does best, isn't it? Hallelujah. Well, I think back to those days where I was as that young 21-year-old who I guess I had a whole lot of questions and queries and things I wasn't sure about. I had some very weird ideas back in those days. We were living in the days of nuclear bombs and the threat of nuclear armament and all of that. And there was always this thought that that someone might press the button and that the world could go up in nuclear warfare. You know, it was in the 80s there. It was like very prevalent thinking. And I had this funny thought. I thought that I'd hope that I went early, because I thought that there may not be enough room in heaven for everyone all at once. Could you think of a weirdest idea, you know? But there I was thinking these ideas about, you know, wanting to get to heaven before everybody else did and they took up all the room. And but you have some funny ideas, but, you know, one thing that I can't, in that time, in my encounter with God and that realization that God was real, one thing I can't argue with is the way that He actually revealed Himself to me in a way that I couldn't deny. The way that He came into my life and showed Himself to be real and strong and able and very much existent. And I can't deny that. And I didn't know too many scriptures at that time, or in those days I couldn't really rub two scriptures together in that encounter. But something that no one could take away from me was my experience that I had with God. That was something that, you know, you couldn't talk me out of. You might have been able to win an argument with me, but you wouldn't have been able to talk me out of that experience that I had. And, you know, I tell you, so often I share how that experience was like liquid love. God came into my life in such a way that it just felt like love. And of course, that's my topic today as well, is just how God's love is very much something that we should be focusing on. We started last week just focusing on that a little bit. And of course, the point that was made, and it's my first point, I want to just recap it a little bit, is that we cannot say that we love God and ignore His word in our lives. We cannot say that we love God. You know, that is, as I say, my first point today. It's not possible to have a close and intimate relationship with God and not have a close relationship with His Word. In other words, you know, letting it live in us richly and deeply. Some might say, well, I show God my love through my service. I would say serving God is great and we encourage it. But Jesus said you should show your love by keeping His word. And we'll just bring that scripture up that we finished with last week, John chapter 14 and verse 23 to 24. And it's Jesus talking and He says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He's going to hang on to it. He's going to cling on to it. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me, what? Does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not my own, but it is from my Father who sent me. You know, I like that bit about Him coming and making His home with us, you know, as we keep His word. You know, if we're to sustain God's love flowing through our lives, we must have that commitment to keeping the word of God and also carrying His presence, because as we do, He'll come and make His home with us. Now, that's the thing that we talk about. We talk in this church about prayer. Prayer gets us over into a place of connection and communication, two-way, we believe. And then, of course, we find ourselves in His presence. And that's something that we can carry. That's something we can carry of Him, is His presence. It's that part there where He comes and He makes His home with us. And that's a good thing to pursue and go after. You know, that commitment to keeping God's word and carrying His presence, that what we get when we, you know, God comes and makes His home with us. So very important. From the very teaching of Jesus, we see that His presence in our lives is directly related to keeping God's word. And I recall a moment that I was asking myself the question, think it was back in the Hillary's, when we were living down there in Hillary's, and asking myself the question, you know, how do I show God my love? You know, how do I express my love to him? I felt inadequate in expressing my love to God, and how can I possibly express that to God? And the question was coming from that place of feeling, you know, ineffectual. And the Lord answered me from John chapter 21. He said to me at that time, he said, well, just feed my sheep. And I was already a pastor at that time, but this word from the Lord was revelatory. It was something that was giving me light. And I show my love for God by what I do with his word. But one of the best ways that we keep God's word is by sharing it with others. And I really got that revelation. And John chapter 21, the disciples, when we read the story, had decided that they were going to go fishing. And they caught nothing. They'd gone out and caught nothing. And Jesus tells them, just drop your nets on the other side of the boat. And you know the story if you've read that chapter. And I guess, you know, bingo, the net comes in and it's full of fish, 153 to be honest. And that's a good catch. Who wouldn't want to be going to the market with 153 fish? There's no one I know who wouldn't be wanting to do that. And of course, it'd be a real haul and a good day in fishing, in the fishing game. But Jesus instructs Peter in this passage about keeping and sharing the word, and I like it. Over in John chapter 21, it says he calls them onto the beach, and Peter's pretty excited to see Jesus, so he jumps out of the boat and comes running up to onto the beach, and Jesus says, come, have breakfast. And Jesus said to them, none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They all knew it was Jesus. And they knew it was the Lord. And it says in verse 13, Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. And he did the same with the fish. So he'd already been preparing breakfast on the beach. And, you know, the fish were frying. And there's a bit of fresh bread there as well. And so it was a real treat after they'd been fishing all night long. And this was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So he is the resurrected Jesus cooking breakfast for you. What a blessing. You know, the resurrected Jesus, and they knew it was him. Verse 15, when they'd finished eating, Jesus asked Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? What's he talking about, these? These fish. These 153 fish that he just brought in. Do you love me more than these? Of course, the answer was, yes, Lord, he answered. You know I love you. And Jesus replied, feed my lambs. In verse 16, verse 21, Simon said, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he answered, you know I love you. And Jesus told him, shepherd my sheep. And Jesus, after a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was deeply hurt that Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? Lord, you know all things, he replied. You know I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. The thing that we need to see here is that, and it shouldn't have been a surprise to Peter at all. He was asked three times. Because just a little while back, what had he done? Denied Jesus three times. Before the rooster crowed, he denied Jesus three times. And we should understand that it wasn't Jesus who needed to hear the answer. It was Peter. So Jesus had him repeat it three times. And God's love for Peter didn't stop when he denied Jesus. And it's something that we want to look at this morning. God's love was still extended to Peter, even though he denied Jesus three times in that close proximity to his being captured by the soldiers and then going and being delivered to his persecutors and ultimately those that would kill him and nail him to the cross. And we say often at Victory Life, and you hear it being said around the church and around the congregation, I believe it's a good saying, that God's love reaches us all where we are. You know, no matter what situation, what circumstance you're in, God's love is being extended to you all the time, right where you are. And of course, Peter was able to repent. And the truth is, he was always able to change his mind about that situation. And the truth that we have to see and understand is that the reason God wants us all sharing God's word is that it is the one thing that he will confirm. It is the one thing that he will confirm. That, in other words, it's the one thing that he'll back up. I go up to Rosemary and I'll say to her, you know, God's love is, you know, for you, and don't you worry about the future, and, maybe give her a few more scriptures that just, you know, ministers to her. But it's not that I've told her that she should be convinced by me. It's the fact that God then actually confirms that word to her, maybe stirs her heart, encourages her heart. And, you know, we have that benefit of being a Christian household and a family where we see the Lord confirming the word spoken and shared. And if people in our lives are going to experience something of the love of God, be touched in their hearts, it will be because the Lord confirmed his word to them and that someone shared with them the word of God. And again, you know, let's see that over there in Mark. You know, we need to be seeing what we're talking about here from the scripture. In verse 19 to 20, it says, "And after the Lord had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God." Where's Jesus now? He sat down at the right hand of God. In verse 20, "And they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked through them, confirming his word by signs that accompanied it." You know, that's a sign to you and I. You know, when the Lord touches your heart, ministers to you, and again brings out the truth of the gospel to you. And we've got to see this, that what do the signs accompany? The preaching of the word. It's right there. I like something that Sean Bolse said recently and caught my attention. He says that God's favour, you know, when you experience God's favour on someone's life and you see it and you recognise God's favour on someone's life, it's meant to reveal those he wants to love. And that's going to come through you primarily. As you act on that, you know, as you see favour on someone's life, God wants you to show them God's love and be a part of that process and actually reach out to them and minister to them. Those moments when you feel that favour towards someone, that moment that the Lord impresses on your heart, someone in your field of influence, the Lord is alerting you so that we can share the word with them. And it's that sharing of the word that God comes along and confirms. So it's not you working, it's him working through you. Amen? We've got to get on with this, church, you know. When Jesus returns, we at least should look busy, you know. We should look busy. If we're not getting on with it, we should at least look like we're planning to, and we want to. So what do you do? You know, the question is so often that people ask is, what do you do, you know, when you get around people? You know, what do? And share your testimony with them. Perhaps ask them if you can pray for them. You know, do those simple things, those first steps. Wow, it's just so powerful to work with God and not for him, you know. To work with God and not for him. There's a subtle difference there, and we ought to be about that business. Someone says, what if nothing happens? What do, you know? What if they think I'm a bit religious? Well, they'll be right, won't they? they'll be being honest and truthful. But what if they see a confirming sign from the Lord? What if the Lord ministers to their heart in a way that only he can? What a great result, you know. That would be well and truly worth it. And Paul says it so clearly for us in Romans, and I'm not sharing this word to make anyone feel uncomfortable, but there's a great scripture there in Romans 1, verse 16. It says, I've got 17 there as well, but just 16 is good. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation. To everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Greek. In other words, it's for all nations. In fact, we know from Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 that, you know, for those of us that believe, there is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no Greek, there is no ethnicity. We are all one in Christ. And that's so very important. And of course, there's an equality just in being one in Christ. Amen? It's a good news story right there in Galatians chapter 3. But let's be those ones that are quick to love and love people with the word of God. And And when we do, it brings the presence and, of course, the power of God on the scene to confirm the word. And we want that. You know, I believe you would want that as well when you see the result of it in someone's life. You know, when they just feel that God is actually working in their life. You know, there's just this sense that God is real now and that he's interested in me. He's interested in them, you know. And that's a sweet thing to see and be a part of. So again, you know, that was my first point about both keeping God's word and also sharing God's word. And that's the reason that we're to keep it, is so we can share it. And second point, when we talk about the love of God, we are often caught up in the thinking that if God loves someone, he must then approve of their every action and their every deed. How many of you know that that's not correct? You know, that's not what the Bible teaches. And that would be like saying that God approved of Saul when he was persecuting the Christians. Of course, it's not true. No, God did not approve of his actions and deeds, but God's love still reached him where he was. It got to him where he was. There he was on the way to Damascus. He had authority, he had papers, he had permits to persecute Christians, but God's love hit him off that horse, you know, and reached him right where he was. We'll go to John and just have a little look here. But this is well worth reading, this one here, John chapter 8, verse 1 to 6. But when Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning, he went back into the temple courts, and all the people came to him. And he sat down to teach them, the scribes and the Pharisees. However, they brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And it says, and they made her stand before them and said, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say? And look what it says. It says they said this to test him in order to have a basis for accusing him. In other words, you're not keeping the law, so you should be stoned as well. They wanted to get him in the firing line, and that was their motivation. But Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. So in other words, he just started doodling in the sand. A little time for everybody just to cool down and just think about things, because they're wanting some response, they're wanting some action, they're wanting something from Jesus at this point. And I bet you could hear a pin drop. And you know, remember this, and it's important to understand this as well. The law of Moses was never going to be the answer for sin. When you go back into the Old Testament, the Old Commandments, it was never going to be the answer for sin. It was always intended to be the teacher that brings us to Christ. It was always going to be the thing that actually showed us and the measurement that showed us that we couldn't measure up. That's what the law of Moses was for. And that therefore we needed a Saviour. And Di so ably brought out during the communion message, Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. God already had made provision for our sin, you know, our inability to get it right every time. Who's with me? You know, we all needed that work of Jesus upon the cross. And we go on to verse 7, it says, and when they continued to question him, he straightened up, stood up, and said to them, let he who is without sin among you be the first to cast a stone at her. And again, he bent down and wrote on the ground, back to doodling again. And when they, you know, again, it was just stunned silence. And when they heard this, they began to go away one by one, beginning with the older ones, until only Jesus was left with the woman standing there. And Jesus again straightened up and asked her, woman, where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you? No one, Lord, she answered. And then he says, neither do I condemn you. And Jesus declared, now go and sin no more. Very important to hear that last bit. Now go and sin no more. Jesus wasn't excusing it. He wasn't allowing it. He wasn't approving of the lifestyle choices that she'd made at that point. But he said, go and sin no more. In other words, walk this new life out. And of course, he knew very well that he was ushering in that new life that we're all enjoying today as Christians and believers in Christ. And that's a new life free from sin, free from the penalty of sin. And again, the more we walk on it, we find ourselves free from the power of sin, a temptation, and all those things as well. Just drop off as we continue to walk this Christian life out. It's a wonderful thing. But Jesus was able to love her without agreeing with her sin. He was able to correct her without condemning her. And he told her that very, very clear message. Go and sin no more. And I like John chapter 3, verse 16. Most people have heard John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have an everlasting life. We know that. We've seen it on the T-shirts. We've seen it on the bumper stickers. It's a great verse, and people even outside of the church usually get to hear it before they even get in the church, because it's so well-known and popular scripture that talks about God's intention for the world. It was that he loved it. He loved it where it was. He loved it in its fallen state and showed his love on a cross 2,000 years ago. And by sending Jesus to die for our sins and pay the penalty for our sins. And of course, we look at it and it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only, his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son. I like verse 17, listen for it. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. There was not that, you know, that condemning, accusing, you know. I always find it strange when you get around people who are very strong on that condemning, accusing thing, because it's his goodness that leads us to repentance, isn't it? It's that understanding his goodness and his kindness and his great love toward us that leads us to repentance. I didn't even understand it when I first got saved. I didn't really quite appreciate it, but what I was experiencing was God's love. And I wanted more of that. You know, it draws us, it brings us closer, and it leads us to the place where we do repent and change our mind. Get rid of all our ideas and thoughts about what, you know, what we thought was the way things were made up in the heavenlies and spiritual things, and actually embrace the truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And of course, you know, I want us today, church, as we close, and that's my second point, my last point for the day, I want us to make a commitment together again today. And I might just ask if we could maybe put our Bibles down and our notes and maybe stand together. I want us to make a commitment today to be a people that keep God's word, but also with a purpose to share it. I want us to, again today, realise that God loves the world and so should we. That there are people outside the church that really need to be inside the church. You know, that we really need to reach them. But we have to do it without condemning. We have to do it without accusing. And of course, we have to do it by sharing God's love with them. So why don't we just ask the Lord a blessing on the word today, and that it would touch our hearts as only he can with it. So Father, we again thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of your word. Lord, we say that the entrance of your word gives us light, Lord. We thank you for that light because it illuminates, Father. It shows us the dark places in our lives, Lord. Lord, your word says that your word is a lamp unto our feet, Father. It shows us where we are. And Lord, it's a lamp unto our path. It shows us where we can go. And Lord, we today, Father, pray that, Lord, as we've heard your word about keeping your word and also sharing your word, Lord, that we'd be quietly committing within our hearts to be just a little bit more diligent with those that are around us, Lord, that are in our field of influence, Lord, that we come in contact with, whether it be in the workplace or the school community or down the street or out at the markets, Lord, that we'd be just a little bit more ready in our hearts to share something of our testimony, share something of our faith with those around us, Lord. Lord, we ask today, Lord, that you would promote that as well, Lord, in our lives. That you, Lord, you would lead us and guide us in that. Lord, that we be a people that are actively keeping your word, sharing your word, and making sure people know that you love them. Lord, that you love them right where they are. Lord, that we commit to that today, Lord, afresh. Lord, if we've not been good at it in the past, Lord, let us get better at it. Lord, let us just be a little bit more diligent in this activity, Father. And we call it kingdom activity, Father. And we know, Lord God, that you confirm the word preached with signs and wonders. And Lord, we look forward to that. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.